Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Kenzie Pendleton. Guys, she is in my group Because I Want to Know on Facebook. That's how I know her. And I had no idea that she does tarot, but she also does holy fire Reiki. And guys, I looked it all up and I told her I'd let you know what I know. So here we go. Now, what I understand holy fire Reiki is, because there's so many different kinds of Reiki, it's a refined high energy frequency energy system designed to gently and rapidly heal you, which is really cool. Now, the benefit, of course, is to help release emotional and mental and spiritual blockages. But it's not like a religion. What I found out, it uses the term holy to represent like spiritual source of energy from a higher level of consciousness. Now, is that kind of what we're talking about here, Kenzie?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I also read about it is that it's talking about wholeness and completeness instead of like the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, you are connecting to maybe what some other people might think is the Holy Spirit. You know, I personally am more attached to the energy of Reiki itself, not necessarily this type of Reiki. This was honestly was what was available to me at the price point that I could pay for. What? But it ended up being exactly what I needed. And so, like, I know there's like a lot of different people in my area. So I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different types of Reiki in the area that I could have taken, but this one just happened to be offered in my therapy office for $300 for, you know, the Reiki 1 and 2. And I needed something that was attainable and in a safe environment that I already knew, and it ended up working out exactly the way I needed it to.
Wow. And see, that's the thing. I had no idea there were so many different kinds of Reiki. I just thought it was Reiki, you know?
I know, me too. Same here. I had no idea. And honestly, so it's a weekend long training that you go through. Mm-hmm. And my teacher, my master, mostly just focuses on the energy. She gives you a little bit of the history and she gives you the book, you know, that you can look through and learn more about the history. But we focus so much on the energy, what it can do for you, what it can do for others, and practicing it and learning what it feels like, that we didn't really actually focus on the history of it. So I'm still learning about the history of it. Yeah. And I'm really grateful for any knowledge that I get. But yeah, that's pretty much what I know about it. I do know that it can be kind of intense for people, but that's up to the practitioner to kind of tame off. So one thing that I learned with my practice is if my hands start to get like pin prickles in them when I'm offering Reiki to someone, that tells me to back off and to maybe move on to a different space or just raise my hands a little bit higher above and maybe to be not so quote unquote invasive. Gotcha. But yeah, the energy speaks to you as you're going through. And I know that, you know, as time goes on, the practice evolves and grows. And I think that's kind of the same for all versions of Reiki. You know, the more you practice, the more your gifts turn on through the process. But that's just kind of been my experience too.
Right. And all this time I'm sitting here in my solo episodes, especially going, guys, just grab that energy and just push it out into the universe. I'm basically using the same kind of energy you are, right?
Yes. So this is the thing. I am somebody who I feel, and I know this is going to sound horrible, but I feel that Reiki is very much gatekept.
I agree.
It is, you know, and, you know, we all have this gift. Every single one of us has the ability to do self-Reiki and to do Reiki on others, but we're told that you have to be attuned to do this.
Okay.
I actually teach my own family how to do it because it is there. It is something that we have a right to.
Yes.
I just think that we're kind of in a system where you need a certificate and you need this, this, and this. And I might get hate for this belief, but this is just where this like is the knowledge I've come to. I've been doing Reiki on myself for years.
Wow.
And I had no idea that I was doing that. But even like when I would receive Reiki virtually from a friend or whatever, I would be doing most of the work at home and they would just be holding the space for me. And so when I offer Reiki to people, I don't tell them I'm healing them. I'm not healing you. what I'm doing is I am holding the space for you to heal yourself.
You know, listen, I have to agree with you. And I was an accidental Reiki master, apparently, because I've been doing it for myself for years, too. And telling you guys, and don't get me wrong, I think it's really important, though, to get training, because I probably could expand. And I need to talk to you about that maybe after we stop recording, because I think you can expand your knowledge, expand your awareness. And when you do that, it just makes you better and it makes it more focused, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like, my ability to heal others really came on after my attunement. And maybe that was partially just having the confidence and the knowledge and being told like, hey, you can do this now. Yeah. I don't know. But I can say that, you know, I learned so much more about it. One thing that I was doing before was I feel like I was pulling from my own energy and then offering my energy to the person or to myself. Mm-hmm. And really, you're pulling from the universal energy. You're pulling from around you. And so I'm very much an imagery type person. And so I kind of picture the energy coming from outside of my hands, like the backside of my hands, out to the front of my hands. Instead of, you know, coming through my body, I picture it going through my hands from the air around me and into the person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. Because, and I try to think of it like life force energy. It's in the atmosphere. It's in our environment. We just have to, you know, rub your hands together and feel that energy and then like make a ball of the universe or the globe or whatever, and then just push it out. I was just watching, I don't know if anybody watches Shrinking on Apple TV, but there was a time when one of the guys says, we're going to send you all our luck at the soccer game. And the whole, all of them got together and they were like pushing energy to her. And I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what I keep telling everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, because before I feel like I was using my own energy and then it would become really draining.
Yes.
And so that's what you kind of learn in a Reiki certification, is that you're not pulling from your own energy, you're pulling from the life force energy. Yeah. So then you're not drained afterwards.
Right.
I continue my training though. I'm actually currently reading this book called The Psychic Art of Reiki.
Oh, wow.
And it's a different type of Reiki, but I'm learning a lot more about like the energetic field, the different aura layers, and about like different meditations to clear your energy. Because even if you're trying to be intentional about not using your own energy, that doesn't mean that you're taking on someone else's on accident.
Right, right.
So I'm somebody who will like get physical pain in my body when I'm doing a service for someone. And I have to like tap into my own body and be like, is this mine or is this the other person's? Yeah. And I have to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Kind of shake that off. And so I'm learning more how to control and manage my energy after and before sessions right now.
Yeah.
And then learning more about the, like the psychic part of it. Cause I feel like I learned a lot of, to me, all of Reiki is psychic. I don't really understand the people who aren't psychic and do Reiki, because it's all psychic to me, but
well, yeah, we're all one. So you're really just honing in on that soul level of knowledge, in my opinion. And then I asked in the group, hey, guys, if you have any questions for mom, and you said, hey, how can I connect with my loved ones on the other side or whatever? And I kind of talked to you about that. I think you were the one, right?
Yeah, I think we kind of have similar paths in a sense from our childhood, and I knew your story a little bit. And so I also have a loved one on the other side that was abusive towards me. Yes. And I'm struggling with that like forgiveness aspect. And so I was trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing. And my mom, I told you, well, you've heard me say, my mom said, just talk to him. And I'm like, I really don't want to talk to the SOB. She goes, yeah, but you said you forgave him. I'm like, well, I did. She goes, just talk to him. So what I did, and you guys all know the story, but the thing is, forgiveness is such a human thing. Retribution is such a human thing. Hating someone is just a human thing. And when they get up there, they're not like that. Their souls are so different. They're not anywhere near like that. They don't have egos up there. We have to have an ego. It keeps us alive, you know? But when they get up there, they're not like, oh, well, I guess you don't love me. Like cutting cords. We can't cut cords with people. That's a very human thing to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If your father or whoever it was, the loved one on the other side, it was that abused you, they're probably a kindred soul, they're a soul family, whatever, and they probably, and I hate to say this, guys, but you may have asked for it. And they may have said, are you sure? You're going to hate me in life. You're going to hate me, but I'll do it for you because I love you. That sounds crazy. And it's very victim blaming.
It's a hard pill for me to swallow. I want to clarify in case my dad ever listens to this. It was not my dad, but it was a part of his family.
Yeah. And don't be wrong. And guys, listen, it could be that that person just derailed. It may not be anything at all that you said, hey, listen, I want to stop this cycle. I want to experience this. I am experiencing this for the collective. You go back to source and you give them all your information. And they're like, okay, that's how Kinsey felt about this. That's knowledge that is very needed. And that helped them do whatever they needed to do for their particular situation. I think because we're all so connected, you could talk to whoever it was anytime you want and just hone in on them. Because I'm telling you, the healing aspect I have with my father is beyond, I can't explain it. I can't explain how much better I feel just talking to him because he's not human anymore.
Yeah. I mean, listening to your story definitely gave me a lot of hope. So it was my grandfather, and he has definitely tried to show up in my life and has been doing it more in the spirit realm as of late. One of the ways that he shows up to me is like smelling like cigarettes. It's how he kind of shows up to my family.
Right.
I don't smoke cigarettes, and like randomly right next to my bed, it'll smell like cigarettes. And I'm like, okay, you're here. You know?
Yeah.
I have come to the conclusion over years and years of therapy and somatic healing and different modalities like Reiki and whatever, is that, you know, this curse on my family, this childhood pedophilia, you know, all the things, it runs rampant in my family. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that I signed a contract that said I will be the one to end it. Well, you know,
when you put it like that, I can guarantee you, and my mother actually is now nodding with me, that's exactly what you did this for. And it's as hard as this is, guys, to hear that we come here to experience it. And then, you know, that sounds so bad. It sounds so horrible. But guys, she stopped it. And I guarantee you that's what she's going to tell me next.
Yeah, I did. I did stop it. It's literally written in the stars in my astrology that, and I didn't know this until about 3 weeks ago, but that I would be the one to kind of release the taboo family secrets. And I did that exact thing. So it didn't just happen with my grandfather. It happened with another person on that same side of the family. And that person is still alive. And I reported it to the police. Good and I cut my family off. And I told them, like, what you guys are doing protecting these predators is just not okay.
Right.
And you're not allowed in my family anymore. You're not allowed to see my children. The level of, like, psychological abuse we as the abused go through to stay silent is just, it's insane, you know?
Right.
And I think it actually plays a role in my inability to, like, speak, you know, in conversation, because, you know, the throat chakra has just been blocked for so long. Like one of the symptoms I have, and maybe people listening might experience this too, is like, I'll literally feel like someone is grabbing my throat and like squeezing it.
You were told to sweep it under the rug. You were told to just stop. It's okay. You're not in danger now. He's your family. They're your family. Don't worry about it. My father got away with it. The church even knew. And when you think about it that way, and trust me, I have all kinds of speaking issues. I even have a thyroid issue because of this. And you know, maybe you could help me heal that. But, but besides that, when I finally did get a hold of him, and when he told me, you know the story when he said, I'm in solitary confinement. And I'm like, why? He goes, because I feel like that's where I need to be right now. And I said, well, what about God, you know, or a source or whatever, you know? And he goes, oh, I feel him. He's around me. I can go wherever I want. This is me. So, but that made me go, oh, well, now I kind of feel sorry for him. And damn it, you know? So, but when I started communicating and I said, I want you to do something for me, Dad. I want you to go back to that little girl and hold her and love her the right way a father should love and protect his own child and do it for all of us. There was four of us. And he said, well, I need their permission too. And I'm like, you don't ever have to have permission to be a great father. So go back and fix that, right? And I waited and waited, and finally I went back, and I really felt closer to him. And I said, did you go back? And he goes, I did go back. I did go back. And to me, that is a form of Reiki, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, It's a form of Reiki. It's also kind of a mix of like therapeutic parts work, you know, going yeah. back and loving on those different parts of us. Usually it's yourself that does that.
Okay.
But I actually forgot that that was the part of your story was having him go back, you know. It actually is very interesting. I'm starting to reface the trauma with my grandfather. I had, you know, learned more yes. in 2024, and I just like shut myself off from processing it because I was afraid to open up a deeper can of worms, yeah. you know?
But if you're brave enough, now just hear me out. If you're brave enough to talk to him and listen, you have to do what you want to do, Kenzie. I can't tell you what to do and how you feel because that's so personal, and you probably still have a lot of healing to do. I even have healing to do. I still kind of get mad about it sometimes, especially with all the Epstein file stuff coming up, guys. Mm-hmm. Never, mm-hmm. ever think kids lie about this. I will tell you right now, and I'm going to get mad. If people think women and children are lying about this, I have freaking news for you right now.
Right. Oh, I know.
Anyway.
But if you can go back and talk to him and say, okay, I smell the cigarette smoke. What do you want to communicate to me? Or you could even say, before you talk to me, I want you to go back and I want you to heal that little girl. And I want you to tell her how much you protect her. And I want you to tell the other people that maybe you hurt, that you love them, but you will never do those things again. And that you're sorry. Or rebrand it in something completely different. Like it never happened. I told my dad, make it to where it didn't happen.
Yeah. Heal those versions yes. and just erase it. Yeah.
Yes, because there's so many different versions of us. There's a version of you that's rich. There's a version of you that's, you know, poor. There's a version of you that's a man, a woman, whatever. And you can decide what version in your reality you are. And right now, you know, I'm living this life going, I can't believe I did this with my own father. And now I have a relationship with him. What?
Yeah. It's beautiful. You know, like I can say, have you ever heard of AccuDetox?
No.
Okay. So it's like a version of acupuncture, oh, okay. but yeah. they just do it on your ears.
Okay.
There's like 5 points. They're called the meridian points. Yeah. So anyways, I did this yesterday for the very first time. I am not knowledgeable on this, so I can't answer questions to yeah. be completely honest with you. But I do know that there's 5 different points on your ear that they use yeah. on each ear.
Okay.
And during this session, they put them all in your ear and then you meditate and you kind of go within. And it ended up being like a whole therapy session within my own head.
Wow.
But it was also very spiritual. And my grandfather did show up as his, you know, human version and his higher self. It was like he was waving in and out of the two versions. Good. You know, I don't know if maybe I couldn't accept the higher self sure. version or what.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way he looked at me, he didn't say a word. I just knew. He was just like, I want you to have forgiveness for yourself and for me.
Yes.
And so I know that is something that I will do. In that moment, though, there was still this like divine rage within me that totally just needed to scream at him,
oh,
you know?
Totally, totally understand that. I mean, and you know what? You're probably never quite completely going to lose every aspect of that. That's a core memory. And unfortunately, we can erase the past if we have to. We can go back and fix it or whatever we do. And we ask them to do that and they can do that. But that memory will never be gone because you had to fix it. You had to stop the cycle and that's what you did. So you can't ever forget it. But we can make it better, right? We can heal that aspect. Maybe not change it, but we can certainly heal it. So you know what? If you find it in your heart to just sit down and talk to him, because, you know, with you doing this Reiki work, girl, I'm telling you, it's making you more open. My mom just told me that. She goes, it's making her more open to this. Otherwise, she never would have thought of this.
No, I was extremely closed off to anything spiritual, mm-hmm. really, prior to 2021. Wow. You know, I have a really interesting, slow awakening story,
yeah.
but I actually got a concussion on Easter Sunday
oh, wow.
in 2021, and it sparked like the true awakening for me. But I mean, I feel like my actual awakening started when I got sober in 2014. Mm-hmm. So I got sober very young. I was an alcoholic oh. very quickly yeah. in my life. It was a way of me escaping my body because I couldn't escape the thought. So I would just escape my body with alcohol and drugs.
Yes.
So I ended up having to get sober early because I was getting in trouble with the law quite a bit. And, you know, the mental health aspect was just in the gutter. Yeah. And it took me until 7 years into my sobriety, really, to get a grasp on anything with spirituality, even though I was in a 12-step program that was like, find God and do this and do that. Like, yeah. I just couldn't. I was so angry.
Yeah.
I remember my grandma, when I tried to call out the other abuser for what I knew he had done to his own daughter. And I tried to say, like, he's not allowed in my life, blah, 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 blah. Right. She told me, well, Jesus forgave him, so why can't you? Mm. Or who are you to not forgive him? Whatever, something like that. And it was just like realizing, like, religion in my life was used as a weapon. Yes, it was never used as, like,
love.
An all-loving, encompassing thing. And so when I really discovered, like, source energy, I realized how encompassing it was. I used to judge Christians, and I don't anymore. I have forgiveness, and I have compassion and love and acceptance for all religions now. But it took me a very long time because I was so angry,
I understand. And, you know, I'm not religious. And for me, religion does not play a part in my life at all. However, spirituality does, as you all know. So how I deal with it is, you know, if I've had a family member tell me that my podcast and my books are of the devil, and she wrote me a letter and it was my husband's sister, and we don't have her in our life anymore. And it sucks, because I think a lot of it was jealousy. And I don't mean it like I'm so good or anything. I think it's because right after I started writing books, she decided she wanted to write books. And, you know, it was one of those things where, oh, I can do it if you can do it, the whole thing. That's fine. Do it. If I inspired you to write books, by God, do it. But there was an aspect there. It had everything to do with competition, and it had everything to do with using religion as a weapon. And as the years have gone by, we don't talk to them anymore. And you say, well, you can forgive. I can. I have forgiven her. But I already know the kind of person that I would be surrounded with if I allowed her back in. So I won't.
I learned about forgiveness is, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you need to allow them back into your life.
No, you don't. Don't get me wrong. I don't wish any ill fate on anyone. I wish everybody the best in every aspect of that word. But I don't have to surround myself with somebody that just is so low frequency and so unevolved in their way of thinking. I have no interest at all in having any kind of relationship.
Yeah, I get it. Like I said, I cut off nearly everyone on my dad's side of the family. And yeah. I don't have any ill will towards them, you know, like, they can live their life if they so choose to live in this darkness, but it's not a life that I'm going to live. And, you know, it's really interesting. I've seen it in meditation, and this is not something that I ever saw myself doing, but I see myself speaking about the abuse that I endured as a child and like the effects that it had on my life in front of a large crowd of people. And that terrifies me. So I know it's not like my ego saying so, you know, like, I'm just like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
but I know that my story is going to, and already has, helped so many people find a path to healing, because I was in such a dark place for the majority of my life. I'm 31 and a half years old, and I never thought I would live past the age of 30. Wow. Because I just thought I would die. Like, I felt that way since I was a kid. I never thought I would make it this far.
Yeah.
And so when I turned 30, I'm like, oh, well, what do I do now? I didn't expect to live this long. I don't have anything to show for myself. You know, I was behind, in quote unquote, behind in life for my classmates. And, you know, I don't have a college degree. I don't have a career. I don't have all this, you know? And it was all really because I was kind of just waiting to die, you know? And so now my life is trying to figure out how to live.
What a beautiful. Listen, the fact that you're sharing this with me right now, it's actually healing for me to hear this. And I think it's healing for you and my listeners, because, guys, we didn't rehearse this. We talked about what we were going to talk about for like, 2 minutes? And then I said, let's record. So listen, because we're, you know, and I keep saying this, because we're all one, and because source energy is you, is me. It's source is experiencing itself through us, right? So when you came and decided to come, and it's in the stars that you were going to stop the cycle, and it was in the stars that you had to go through this abuse, it wouldn't have made you as good if you hadn't. And that sounds terrible too. But it's true. It's just, you either want to be in the play, or do you want to just read about it? And we come down here for contrast. We come down here for the good and the bad, the euphoria and the tragedy. And you're becoming. This is your becoming.
Yeah. I mean, I can say from personal experience, and maybe you share the same experience too, I don't know. But from my experience, I've always felt like I needed to talk about the things I endured, but I was always hit with like this uncomfortable energy of like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is getting weird. Like, this is uncomfortable. This makes me feel, you know, that's kind of like the energy I got from the other person. And so I feel part of my like path is to hold that space for people who have endured this kind of trauma, you know, to be a place where they can come to, because I know that there's not many places out there that we can come to.
No.
You know?
No. And the thing is, the fact that you can, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are places where you can go and churches have certain places you can go, but just to sit and talk to somebody and say, what happened in your life? What brought you to talking to me about this right now? And they may have something similar to yours or very different, but still the same outcome came. And the fact that you can just talk about, listen, you're a better speaker than you think you are. No, you, you were worried about that. And everybody's always worried about it when they come on the podcast. They go, I want to sound terrible. You never do, because you know me, I edit the crap out of it. But also, you're just very well spoken. And I can tell you've thought about this. You've lived this life. You've got years on you beyond the years of people that have had a normal life, girl. Both of us have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people that like, I can't just have like a normal mundane conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
It has to be deep, dark, and like, show me your shadow, you know? I think it makes people uncomfortable, but you know, it also shows me the people that are supposed to be in my life, you know, they do have depth and they do have lived experience. I kind of attract those people into my life, you know, and I'm really grateful for that.
Exactly. When you said in the group, you said, I do holy fire Reiki. And I'm like, what is that? I've never heard of it. Come on the show. Now, you also do tarot, correct?
I do. Yeah. I actually started reading tarot before I became Reiki attuned.
Okay.
Pretty much when I got my concussion in 2021, I started meditating. Actually, no, this is kind of weird. I had this weird pull, and I don't even really remember what got me to that. But before my concussion happened, I went to Barnes & Noble, because I didn't even know what a metaphysical store was, mind you.
Yeah.
I went to Barnes & Noble and got myself my first tarot deck and my first oracle deck.
Wow.
I had no idea why. I was terrified. I remember sitting down at Barnes & Noble with this deck and just being like, for some reason, like, I don't even remember talking to my family about tarot or witches or anything like that. I think it was just like an ingrained, maybe ancestral fear of the magic. But I was sitting at the table and just like terrified of doing it wrong and like summoning demons or something, you know, like I had no idea what I was doing, but something pulled me there. You know, something had me like look up, and I had no connection to a higher power at the time. I wasn't praying. I wasn't meditating. I wasn't doing anything at this point.
Yeah.
I was very disconnected from anything spiritual. And so, you know, what called me there, I don't know, but I can say about a month later, I got that concussion. And it was interesting because doctors couldn't explain why I was feeling the way I was feeling, because I didn't have brain swelling. I didn't have a brain bleed. I didn't have anything on scans, but I literally couldn't see correctly. My head hurt constantly for months.
Oh,
I had no explanation for why I was the way I was, but it forced me to reach out to my sponsor in the 12-step program, and her husband sent me these meditations on YouTube. And these meditations led me to my spiritual path. And I started pulling cards for myself randomly. And then I started reading for friends. And now I do it professionally. So, yeah, it was kind of a snowball effect, if you will. So,
listen, and I just started doing tarot about a year ago. I mean, I just know enough to be probably kind of dangerous at it. But back to your concussion, I have a feeling that you were on the road to kind of, okay, what can I do? What's different? You know, what am I afraid of? You're kind of addressing your shadow self, I think, a little bit. Let me get these tarot cards. Let me see what this is. But then I think sometimes when people get concussions, it changes the entire makeup of their personality. And and it sometimes can shift the way you think about everything. I honestly think that was divinely given to you through your guides, through source, whatever. They're like, okay, we're going to give her a life jacket. And yeah, she's going to have to go through a concussion, but that's life. She came here for that. So congratulations. But now look where you are. You're getting paid to do tarot. You're getting paid to do Reiki. This is incredible. And you came from the depths of, I probably don't really want to be here anymore. And I'm an alcoholic and I'm doing drugs and I'm in trouble with the law. Look how far you've come. Holy cow, girl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in the depths. I mean, I almost died, actually. I technically had a near-death experience when I technically had a near-death experience when I was 18 from alcohol, actually. Wow. My heart nearly stopped from alcohol poisoning.
Oh, no.
And my friend who, we were in school to become EMTs. Wow. So luckily, all of my friends knew CPR.
Wow.
And he did CPR on me, and you know, I listen to your near-death experience episodes and I get so jealous because I'm like, why couldn't I experience that?
Yeah.
But I just wasn't ready for it, you know, because all I saw was blackness. There was nothing.
Yeah.
I think part of that was because I was just so intoxicated. And I remember being angry at my friend who saved my life.
Okay,
because
I have something to tell you. Okay, so you didn't go as far as a lot of near-death experiencers go. Yeah. You went into the black void. That's what they call it. It was a velvet black void. It felt fantastic, I bet. Just for that time that you were there, that's why you didn't want to come back. Because you're not intoxicated. Your soul is up there not intoxicated. So whatever you know you experienced, you absolutely experienced that. But I think you were just in that black void because it just wasn't your time and you just didn't go far enough because you weren't gone long enough. Or sometimes it doesn't take that long, but I just don't think for you, that was your calling.
Yeah. I think in that moment, I finally felt relief.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And oh God, I might tear up.
It's okay.
I had like begged for death.
Oh, honey.
And even in sobriety.
Yeah.
You know, I was almost angry when I turned 30, even though I was in this like deep spiritual awakening. I was like, well, why couldn't I just die? You know?
Yeah.
But now, now that I'm 31 and I have done such deep soul retrieval, I actually see a light at the end of the tunnel and it's so beautiful.
It is.
It's something I could never see before.
And unfortunately, you had to go to the depths of the abuse. And it affected you in such a way that was your outcome for many years. Right before your concussion, grabbed something that you never would have grabbed, the tarot cards. And then you had the concussion and it kind of changed your life. And as hard as this is to talk about, even with me, guys, it's hard. You're a child. And they're in control. You're not in control. I remember those things, even though I have a relationship with my father now. But that was his human. And that was, unfortunately, something that I think I signed up for. I don't think it always is. I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer is something someone always signs up for. I think he derailed, but maybe he didn't. It's one of those things. Source, God, he is us. He wants to experience everything. He wants to experience the Holocaust. Isn't that terrible to say, but it's just the truth.
Yeah. I mean, how can you experience the beauty when you don't know darkness?
Right.
You know?
Yes. How can you experience hate if you don't have love? And how can you experience the darkness if you don't have the light? Just like you said. Oh my gosh, girl. Now I'm tearing up.
Sorry.
No, it's just, you get heavy and I go there with people. I don't, it's none of the surfacey stuff with me either. I want to know why you're the way you are. I want to know why, you know, you gravitate towards certain things. So tell me, do you have a website for people to go to if they want to have a Reiki session with you, Holy Fire Reiki session with you, or to have tarot reading with you?
Yeah. So my website is Moon Mama Shop, and Mama is spelled M-A-M-A. So it's Moon, M-A-M-A, shop.com.
Okay.
And if you go to my website, you can book on there, but I think I am switching it more to an inquiry-based system. But that being said, if you go to that website and you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you can find all of my socials linked. There's just a little button. You just click on it and go to TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram, and you can follow me on there. A lot of my services, you know, they're obviously locally based to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So if any of your listeners in this area, please get a hold of me and we can connect in person. But I also offer everything virtually. And then we are working on creating a Shopify website. Nice. So we will be able to sell our crystals and candles, all that kind of stuff online as well.
Nice. See, I need to get some crystals from you too. I need more because I have some. I need more. Girl, you have been amazing. And I tell you, I may have to have you back on because I'd like to talk to you about maybe we can do a reading for the rest of the year with your tarot, something like that.
I would love that. Wouldn't that be fun? I would love that.
Yeah. So maybe we can do it around June-ish. That'll be the half year point and we'll go from there. So guys, I'm going to add all of Kenzie's information on my show notes. And Kenzie, thank you so much for being on the show. You have been amazing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.